What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Quail Hollow Club brings the best golfers in the world to North Carolina for the second major of the season.
In my mind, I'm born Carolina.
This is PGA Championship Week with our golf pros.
Is golf fun?
No.
Dirt and Sprague.
Do you like golf?
No.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Do you want to play more golf?
Yeah! The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
Playing a trivia game behind the scenes.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, who's never had the number one pick in the NBA? I'm trying to guess random teams.
NBA teams have not had the number one pick. Can you name them?
I got a couple of them.
Yeah, you got two. I gave you one.
You gave me the Jazz. The Jazz have never had the number one overall pick.
Never.
Who did I guess? What did I give to you? I gave you two teams I didn't. Who are the ones I gave you? I'm scrolling through now. I'm not looking at every NBA logo, confusing myself which team I guessed on. Memphis was one of them.
Memphis was the other one.
Was Toronto ever had the number one?
Toronto.
Andreas Bargnani.
Oh, okay.
The year Brandon Roy won Rookie of the Year. That was a tight. Remember, one guy voted for him to be Rookie of the Year, and I think it was a Toronto broadcaster.
Shocking.
And he was. That was one vote that kept him from being a unanimous Rookie of the Year.
We have the North.
The Suns?
The Suns are not.
No.
They've had the number one
They've
pick.
Had the number
DeAndre
one pick.
Ayton.
Oh. Yeah, DeAndre, who's currently on our team right now. Clippers? Have the Clippers had the number one pick?
The Clippers have had the number one pick.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin, come on down.
Blake Griffin, that's right.
By the way, Gundy's claiming last time he came on the day of a lottery, we jumped two slots, the Scoot draft.
Oh, okay.
So he thinks he's good luck.
He's the good luck charm
karma.
For us.
He also thinks Con Knipple is better than Caruso and KCP, which I'm like, okay.
All right.
Those are title winning guys.
Gundy bringing takes this morning.
I love it.
Maybe the Knipple is better than I'm giving him credit for.
If they get number two, they're going to have to trade our point guard.
No, we're not. We're keeping them all.
Why would we?
Why? Why would we not?
You think that's going to go well for the former number three pick who plays that position that, hey, you're going to stay on the bench? Because
he's already having his playing time blocked because we refused to trade the other guard on the team.
All right. Well, why would we trade teams?
Indiana? Is Indiana?
Indiana.
Okay. I got one there.
Indiana, Utah, Memphis.
All right. We're stacking up. Let's go. Riggins, what are you doing over there?
Not all great teams, by the way, historically speaking.
Sure.
No, I know, because
there's like a little asterisk next to one team.
Mm.
I would say they haven't been around long enough, but they have been terrible.
Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
There's four. Two more teams, and I'll give you this clue. One was kind of a playoff team, and one is a playoff team.
Okay, so we got a playoff team and a play-in team. That eases
things. No, one was a playoff team by definition.
Okay.
Right. But you watched them and said, that ain't a playoff
team. That ain't a playoff team. No, can't be them.
Yep, good guesses.
No.
I love Riggins. He plays
Riggins
this game
just, Riggins
so well.
Riggins
just
no help.
Out all the thoughts.
I'm thinking.
But you're like, your brain is blank. I don't think
there's
you
nothing
are
going on up there. We're going to get any guess? Want to throw any? I got three teams so
team.
Far.
We hate this team.
I got half of them already.
Portland hates this team.
The Lakers? No, not
we
the Lakers.
We wish we could burn them to the ground.
We want to burn them to the ground. Who are we burning
the Rockets?
To the ground?
No,
no,
of course not.
We burn the Rockets to the ground.
No.
I got nothing. I get.
Of course not.
Golden State?
They're in the East.
Golden State. No. Miami.
Hey!
Oh, yeah, that's so stupid.
And your last one?
I give up.
Think of Taco Bell.
Riggins hasn't helped at all. Denver?
There you go.
Quesarito?
Look at that. Dirk got all six.
Look at that.
Good
Great job, Riggins.
Job.
Let me ask the question. So I asked Gundy this earlier. And I to me, it's a big aspect of tonight and how it's all going to shake out.
Man, this is taking over our show. I kind of love it.
I mean, it's a big day, dude.
It's a very massive day.
This is a consequential day in Blazer history.
You stay at 10 or go to 11, like, I don't know how they're going to sell that, but they're going to sell it to you as if they're getting the All-Star.
If your 3% chance hits, the next 10 years of your organization have changed and you're landing Cooper Flag, right? We have had three consecutive top seven picks. Mm-hmm. Three in a row. Now, we got a chance, if we jump into the top four tonight, to have four consecutive top seven picks. Maybe we end up 10 through 12. We'll see.
Yeah.
You have taken Donovan Clingan, Scoot Henderson, and Shaedon Sharpe.
Yes, correct.
The organization will tell you the superstar might be on the roster. We don't need to have a top four pick because we might already have our superstar. Mm-hmm. I'm just genuinely asking, like, the revisionist history is, it's easy for people to poke holes in, but it's also what you do. Like, you brought up the Thompson brother earlier in the show. He was the fourth overall pick directly behind Scoot Henderson, and he is off to a phenomenal start in his career. Mm-hmm. Not that Scoot's book has been written and we know who he's going to be in the NBA, but there is a bit of buyer's remorse there, I think, of a wing who maybe Houston is going to build their team around 3 years in or 2 years into his career, as opposed to a guard who can't even crack the starting lineup at this point going into year three. Not all of that is his fault. We refuse to trade Anfernee Simons. How do we feel about this organization's ability to evaluate talent and draft players depending on where they end up tonight in the lottery?
I think the tough part with that question is everybody would answer that and say, great. They feel great about it.
And that's my follow-up is why? Why do we feel great about
because that? Because they got Denny Avdia in that trade, and did you know his contract goes down over years?
Sure, but he wasn't a draft pick. They traded capital to go get him.
You asked see, that's where that question will get you in trouble if you're looking for draft-specific. If you just say talent evaluation, I will point to Tumani Kamara, and I will point to Denny Avdia. The rest of it? Man, I don't know if I'm exactly with Gundy, but I don't think you can have any conclusion one way or the other on Klingon after year one.
Sure.
I think there were some real positives. I think there were moments where you went, are you a 6-point, 11 rebound, maybe a block and a half per night guy who plays 29 minutes? I don't know if that realistically gets you in the title conversation. And the other two, it's like, good luck. If you want to say he's baby Kobe and he'll take that step, God bless you. If you don't buy it, can't blame you. Scoot, I don't know how anybody has some grand opinion on Scoot Henderson. You can say, I liked what I saw. And I can also say, and I have stuff that I didn't like that I saw. So I don't think the shooting, look, the numbers say he improved. You still don't feel great about it, do you? Like, when he goes to shoot a three, are you sitting there going, bang?
You don't feel like right now you have a guy who you would have hoped the third overall pick would be.
No, so
doesn't mean his career is done or he can't be a good player, but what your expectations are mentally for the third overall pick, you don't feel like you have that right now.
Chris Murray, I mean, you can't really tout that. So that was in the Scoot draft. That was in the first round.
And Ryan Rupaire was also in that draft.
And Ryan Rupaire, I don't even think he could play at this. I'd be like, I don't have a lot of hope for Ryan Rupaire. People love to hold on to that. But I think if you say draft, a little shaky. If you say talent evaluation, well, then Tumani and Denny get thrown into it.
Sure.
And people get to say, I feel good about it.
Yeah. I mean, you'd also throw Jeremy Grant into that. You throw DeAndre Ayton into that.
Yeah, the only problem with that is I can't throw them into it because those were already established talents. Like, I already knew Jeremy Grant was a good role guy. Now, what was he going to be in the Portland thing? I don't know. DeAndre Ayton helped lead a team to a finals. He was a centerpiece of a finals team. I know he can play basketball. You're not getting credit for that. Those were defined players already.
Yeah.
I'm going by the young players we didn't know much about. Nobody watched Denny Avdia in Washington.
No.
Nobody knew who Tumani Kamara was and even how to say his name when they first got him. And then the other three were all draft picks, as you mentioned, in the top seven. One, I don't think proved if he's going to be elite, good, okay, or bad yet. The other one, you're unsure of, and the other one you're unsure of. So, you know, of the three picks in the top seven, to answer your question, because if you do talent, that's what will happen. Draft-wise, I'm kind of shrugging my shoulders. I don't really know.
Yeah,
is a little disturbing.
Right, and that's the reason I wanted to bring it up. I don't think they've whiffed on every move that they've made as an organization. That's clearly not the case. They've
definitely
had some very successful moves that have taken place and guys that they've picked up that they feel like could be key contributors. But tonight is mainly centered around the draft. And I feel like there's this narrative out there, primarily because Mike Schmitz is here, and he was on ESPN for so long. We used to have him on the show. Like, he's a known draft guy. He's a known figure in that world. That there's just like a base level of trust that goes with them drafting. And
it's his pick.
And I just am wondering, like, where does that come from? And I don't. Again, I have no clue.
His resume.
Sure, but what's his resume drafting? His resume drafting is two guys who we're completely not sure of and a guy who we're not judging yet because he's only been in the league for 1 year and played 13 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Shaedon Sharpe has not shown you that he has the ability to be a guy that you can build a team around, and Scoot Henderson is still playing off the bench, mm-hmm. and you're not quite sure what his long-term fit is in the NBA. So there's this blanket level of trust that gets put on the organization and their ability to draft. That's the reason I'm asking the question. I genuinely don't know why that is, outside if he worked at ESPN and we heard him talk about draft prospects for a long time. Because so far, that has not come to fruition. Now, maybe this is the year Shaedon takes a big step. Maybe they finally trade Anfernee Simons like they should have done 2 years ago, and Scoot Henderson becomes a starting point guard, and he's the most improved player in the NBA next year. I don't know what next year is going to hold.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, as the sample size of actual picks that we have, this organization, this front office's picks are Shaedon Sharpe, Jabari Walker, Scoot Henderson, Chris Murray, Ryan Rupert, and Donovan Clingan. They had some other picks that they traded away for other parts. You know, Bub Carrington, for example, last year mm-hmm. was a part of the Washington pick. He was a 14th overall pick in the draft. So they've had other guys that they've traded. That's their haul of draft picks 3 years in.
Yeah, and I don't know how you can, with a straight face, act like it's been slam dunk picks.
I'm not saying they're all failures. I'm not giving them an F.
No,
I don't have this sense of confidence of, I trust the organization to do the right
thing. I guess what I would ask, though, is how confident are you in the top end talent of the draft? So if they get into the top four, which is
top four.
The best case scenario, right?
Yes.
Right now, on almost every mock, it's Edgecombe, Bailey, Harper, Flag.
Yes.
Let's say you get to the second spot.
Number two overall pick. So your choice of everybody's sans Cooper Flagg.
Which, by everybody's estimation, I don't know if I've seen a mock that hasn't had Dylan Harper at the second pick.
Yes, I agree with you there.
And I don't know how or why, but a real narrative exists here locally that Harper and Bailey played at Rutgers, and Rutgers wasn't good, so...
Why would we take him?
And I'm like, really? Two freshmen?
Yeah, 6'10". Yeah. Bailey's 6'10". He's I mean, he's that massive body. Dylan Harper's a 6'6 point guard.
It's a wildly awful take. Yes. I'll just say that right now. That's a very bad take. If your takeaway is they played a Rutgers together, they didn't win. Okay.
All right.
They're freshmen. Please pinpoint me
Swap
two freshmen.
Swap Dylan Harper with Con Knipple. You think Duke isn't going as far as they go in the tournament?
Well, but are they going to take the obvious pick that everybody says is going to go to and then... I don't know what you do with Scoot. I don't even know how you make that work.
Yeah.
You're going to probably tell us that it can work. They can coexist the way you did when we drafted Scoot, and you said Dame can coexist with him. And then we fast forward 4 months later and Dame's been traded.
Yeah, he's gone.
Because I don't know if you want Scoot around if you're taking Harper.
Yeah.
How is that good for development? How is that where his confidence is?
You're
I can't imagine he'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
And then do you take Ace Bailey? Right? Do you take Bailey at two if you jump into two? And then I don't even know what you do at four. Because Edgecombe's playing Shaden's position.
Yes,
he's
he
the
is.
Same size as him.
6'5", 6'6", wing.
And every other mock behind him is a center and then two guards.
Yeah.
Con Knipple's one of those.
Yep.
So I just, you know, Con can play the 3, 6, 7, but it's fascinating, man. I'm so interested on if the lottery gods reward him. Do they stay at 10? Who do they even like at 10? Like, are you looking at Asa Newell at Georgia, who is a freshman? He's 19. He's 6'10". I don't know what to make of his game. I like the kid at Illinois. He's kind of a combo package. He's, what, 6'6"?
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of fascinating stuff here that if you don't get Flag, where do you go? And then what's the fallout from where you go?
Yeah, and how does it all shake out? Tonight at 4, we will find out where Portland is drafting. We'll have some more on this coming up in the final hour. It's a consequential day for the Blazers. It is by far the most important day for the organization for the calendar year. It's what happens tonight and where they end up. And then we'll go from there during the rest of the offseason. Let's take a quick break from the NBA. We'll dive back into some of the other playoff matchups. Obviously, have some final thoughts on the lottery. I'm curious where listeners are at on that. Do you trust this organization and their ability to draft? 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. Before we do that, though, shorter segment. Let's get to this guy retired. What comes to mind next on The Fan?
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, a couple quick thoughts here at the fan text line. We got this one. I think the Blazers need a number one, not necessarily superstar, but a clear-cut last-minute need-a-bucket guy. They have a roster of role players, and I hate to be the super sports bro, but they don't have an alpha. You put a Westbrook personality alpha on this team, I think the playoffs is legitimate. So
you put a what with this team? Sorry?
You put a Westbrook personality with this team. They want a dog. We need more dogs.
We need more dogs.
I don't know.
Boy,
dogs.
He had a bad game.
Somebody said that he did. Yeah, they all did. Low trust. I don't think they're egregious. I think they're passable. So I think on their ability to draft players, will keep us on the trajectory we've been.
That has to be the
mediocrity.
Question. It has to be draft. If I mean, you say talent evaluation,
yeah, not talent evaluation, just ability to draft players. Bit of breaking news in the NBA world too that just came out. I'm wondering how we think this is going to play out. It is being reported that Sir Michael Jordan,
the GOAT,
according to some, will be joining the NBA on NBC as a special contributor. What does that mean?
My main man, Michael Jordan.
Is he going to be on with Ahmad Rashad? Are they going to do the show together?
I'd be kind of fun. Michael Jordan interview people.
I'd like to see him on a desk talking to us about current players.
If he's candid the way he was in his documentary, then I'm all for it. If he thinks everybody's trash, then let's go.
How many great players turn out to be actually good analysts? I'll use hockey as an example. I think Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier are just an absolute waste of space.
Now, we're talking about the desk or play-by-play?
Like being on the halftime pregame,
I mean,
not play-by-play.
I think that's what makes TNT so good, is that like even if you're not a huge Shaq guy, he has found what his role on that desk is. Shaq, Barkley, you cannot. And I just finished the dream book. Kenny Smith, man, Kenny Smith, underrated dream teammate. But reading about the stories, so you had two-time title winner, league MVP, rebound king, like Charles Barkley leading a team to a finals, and then four-time NBA champion Shaquille O'Neal. Doesn't get better than that.
No, you can't top that.
No.
I think a lot of the hockey guys aren't very good. I think some of the better hockey commentators are the off-the-wall.
What about P.K. Subban?
I mean, he's fine. He's entertaining. He's better than Mark Messier. He's the only entertaining one on that show. I'll give him that.
But what are you after? Like, are you after entertainment or are you
after
the
name? When you hire guys like this, you're after the name. You're after the name of saying we have Michael Jordan on our pregame show. I don't even know what special contributor means.
Yeah, I don't know what he's going to. I'm going to guess it's a lot of pre-produced sorts
it has
of things.
To be, yeah.
Because I don't see him coming to whatever studio they're going to do on a regular basis for however many.
Well, he's very involved in racing. He has his golf line that's going on. He's got some golfers under his umbrella there. He's a very busy dude.
He's got golf courses.
I would actually, I'll tell you this, it's not going to happen because special contributor tells me it's what Swag says, it's a way.
Yeah.
I want Michael Jordan cigar in mouth, bat in hand, Michael Jordan from The Last Dance.
Yes, that's what I want. I'm sitting at the desk being like, this guy sucks. The NBA is so soft.
You know, you bark a lot and you're going to come out like that. Woof tickets.
I would have torched this team. I would have put 50 on this kid. He couldn't guard me. Like, that's the if you get that,
that's
MJ,
MJ,
it's entertaining.
Yes.
But if you don't get it, then it's just a name, and I, you know, we'll see how it works
out. Is there anything he could say that everybody but wants Michael Jordan? So,
not going to really.
You know, Barkley gets the crap, and it's unfair because it's such a team sport that people don't give enough credit to. But, like,
The no ring thing,
right? That's his how you knock him down. Kobe did it without Shaq, and everybody looks at Shaq somehow and says, you underperformed in your career. He won four championships. It's crazy what we do.
We also forget that Kobe also did it with Pau Gasol, who
but still,
first-team All-NBA caliber
Jordan
player.
Jordan would be
he won on his own.
Probably the most. There's nothing you could say.
No, there's
no retort.
No matter
what his take is.
None.
It's Michael freaking Jordan.
You're MJ, so I'm going to go ahead and believe you there. Over the news, we did have a bit of, over the weekend, we had a bit of NFL news. Did we feel any emotion with Derek Carr retiring?
Not a single.
No.
I kind of was just like, oh, okay. See you later. It's
probably more emotion with the fact that Tyler Shuck's going to be their week one starting quarterback.
How bad are the New Orleans Saints going to be this
year? Over-under's 4.5. Take the over.
You going to take the over on that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Jake Haner, Spencer Rattler, it's or Tyler Shuck.
It's going to be
quite a quarterback room.
They give me Jake Haner. I'm a Jake Haner guy. Give me the Hain man.
They took him second round. It's going to be Shuck. I know they're saying it's open to everybody. It's
if it's
going to
be Tyler Shuck, that's a. I'd have to pull up their schedule. Let's do the schedule game with the New Orleans Saints.
No, let's not do the schedule thing. You're either in or you're out.
I'm under 4.5. That team's going to be atrocious. They have a first-time head coach who I believe is the youngest in the NFL. We have no clue how he's going to be.
There were six teams last year, not counting the Saints, because they hit 5 wins.
They did.
They hit 5 wins with that situation last year.
Derek Carr is at least a functioning NFL quarterback.
I don't think he played more than 3 games.
He played in 10.
Did he play in 10?
He played in 10 games last year.
Thank you for proving how bad Derek Carr was.
15 touchdowns and 5 interceptions last
year. Dear Lord, that's terrible.
He played in 10 total
six teams had under 5 wins. The Jags, the Saints, the Pats, the Raiders, the Browns, the Titans, and the Giants.
Their wins all came with Derek Carr at quarterback. They beat the Panthers 47-10. They beat the Cowboys 44-19. Remember, they started the year 2-0, and they were the best offense in the NFL.
I remember that start.
And then they lost 4 in a row, and then they beat Atlanta 20-17. They killed the Browns 35-14, and in his last start, they beat the Giants 14-11. Those were their wins last season. They did not have one after he got hurt.
I mean, it's the same reaction I'll have when Cousins announces his retirement. It's
how dare you? How dare you?
No, I mean, like, you were a good quarterback, but you know.
How do you like me now?
Love you, Kirkers. Love you. Yeah, Derek Carr hung him up. No more eyeliner in the NFL, and the Saints.
It's going to save him a lot of cap space.
I mean, this is going to be huge for them. I mean, this is what they need to do. Like, this is why the only part of the Tyler Shuck thing that just made me chuckle, one, I just don't think he's going to be very good in the NFL. I have 7 years of college to prove that he's just an average quarterback, so those guys usually don't pop and become superstars at the next level. Next year's quarterback class is great. This is all. This is lining up perfectly for them. You got their cap situation is out of control. This will save you some money. Reset everything. You're gonna suck this year with a first time head coach. And then what do? You take a quarterback. You're off and running next year.
Well, my only counter to this is you might be right. History kind of feels like you might be right here. You take a quarterback in the second round, and you're taking a quarterback next year.
And that's why I wouldn't have done it. Yeah.
Well, that's what made the pick I thought weird was like if they didn't take him in the first round, second round right? He was the second round pick?
I believe so. Let me double check.
Because that was the spot we thought Shadour was going to fall to.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a pretty reasonably high draft pick to take a quarterback that you're just going to punt on and say, we're taking another quarterback. No.
He was the 40th pick, so the 8th pick in the second round.
So you can say, oh, the Cardinals did this a couple years ago with Rose and Murray. Fair point. But we were all going, whoa. So, like, I think next year I might go, even though I don't think Shuck's a good quarterback, we might all go, whoa.
Yeah.
Because if it's not Shuck, you wasted a second round pick then is what you're telling me.
On a player that you could have gotten.
Yeah, on any other positional player.
So we said, I'd like to remember Derek Carr for never winning an NFL playoff game. Yeah. That's your memory of Derek Carr.
How could you forget that?
The tank for Arch officially on. Bring him to the Big Easy. I mean, the synergy there would be great. If the Saints get the number one overall pick, Arch does pop this year and decides to leave, getting a Manning back to New Orleans would be pretty awesome.
How much money did he make? I saw the number. Do you know?
Ooh, Derek Carr in his career?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Made retirement easy. Also, he had, not fighting with the Saints over money and saying, nah, that money right there, that's good.
Because
he got his signing bonus.
God, he got a big deal in Oakland, Vegas.
Yeah.
And then one big deal in New Orleans, I think. I think he signed an extension in New Orleans, which, what are you doing, New Orleans?
I mean, they told themselves that, hey, you have a middle of the road quarterback, you can do it.
$300 million? Am I close?
No, not quite.
Not quite there?
196.
196? Okay. Overinflated him a little bit.
I mean, it was $200 million to win a playoff game.
Not bad, man. Not bad. It's a good career if you can get it. Derek Carr hung him up over the weekend.
Me and Derek Carr won as many playoff games as each other.
Look at you guys. You got that going.
He's just better looking with the eyeliner and $196 million.
Yeah, we don't have the $196 million, but we can buy some eyeliner. We could get that going on the show if we wanted to. Let's dive back into the NBA playoffs. What do you make from the weekend that was? Are the Knicks cooked? Did they go from winning the series to being cooked? Dear God, Cleveland. And then do people have a feeling on Minnesota Golden State? That was an ugly game on Friday or Saturday, whatever day that was.
I have a take.
You got a take on that series?
I have a take from that series.
Minnesota just kind of sleepwalking. Can we wake up? Let's dive in a little bit of the NBA playoffs we haven't talked about yet. That is next.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
The weird part about doing a Monday show this time of year is that you have the Friday night games, which start your weekend, but then almost become a little irrelevant by the time Monday gets here because those games then happen again on Sunday.
Yeah.
So Friday night, we have Denver beat OKC in overtime. Thunder couldn't get off a shot. Aaron Gordon hits a big three late. That was a phenomenal basketball game. Going down on the wire, Denver takes a 2-1 series lead. You're like, oh my God. But then the bigger takeaway of the weekend is how ugly the game was early yesterday, and now we got a 2-2 series tie. And if we would have done a show on Saturday, we probably would have been asking the question, are the Cavs back? Here they come. They killed Indiana. That game was over essentially at halftime. Indiana scored 13 points in the second quarter. And then you fast forward to Sunday, and they're down by 41 at halftime, and now they're down 3-1 in the series. So almost more fitting is the conversation from the games on Saturday because they both happened tonight. The Celtics have climbed back into their series with a dominant win. They're essentially up by 30 at halftime at Madison Square Garden on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then Minnesota, who, man, did they play with their food for basically 3.5 quarters until they finally pulled away. Golden State backdoor covered. Don't get me started on that. Playoff Jimmy had a phenomenal game. But Minnesota with a... kind of what you described in game two as an underwhelming win was how I felt in game three as another underwhelming performance, but they're up 2-1 in the series.
I know, you know, styles make fights, right? Matchups are different and they matter. Like, to see what they did to the Lakers and see what they've done with Golden State has been alarming. They're up. They very well could win the series in five games. I'd actually really love that to happen for betting purposes. I'm watching this and I'm like, all right, no Steph, like the offensive guy who runs around and hits every shot he can shoot. He ain't out there. Who are we scared of here?
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler, we knew was going to get his points.
He'll have a good game.
You don't trust that Draymond's going to really do a whole lot to you. Maybe Buddy Hield hits a couple three. There's just, you look around that team and you don't go terrified.
Where was Anthony Edwards too in the first half? I mean, I know he ended up going off. He had a massive second half, but he did nothing in the first half of that game.
If Steph Curry was healthy, I think they win that series.
It feels that way.
And I was a big Timberwolves going into it guy, and I've done nothing but doubt or question Golden State. Now, what I'll do is I'll change some of my thinking here. I'm going to give championship pedigree a benefit. And I will say Steve Kerr seemed pretty confident in his group in the postgame. Draymond, I don't think, will foul out again. So I'm going to give Golden State a shot, especially if this is how Minnesota is going to play. And It just maybe shows us the margin between some of these teams. It's just such a slim margin that I think if a Curry can play, this is different. And maybe they've got a shot to get to an NBA Finals type situation. Minnesota won it. You give them credit. I think the story for Minnesota isn't even Ant Edwards' second half. It was a good second half.
Yeah, he went off in the second half.
If I had to give, like, if you gave awards of, like, the winner of the weekend, you know who would get mine? Julius Randle.
Yeah.
My God, Julius Randle as the second fiddle to that team. That dude's bringing the ball up. He's making good decisions with it.
He had a triple-double for Saturday night.
And he still had, like, he had a couple stupid moments. He had a lane violation late that was like, what are you doing? Like, stop. But Julius Randle, to me, has had an outstanding playoff, and he's having a really good series for them. So if Julius Randle's going to play this way, I tend to lean that I think Minnesota can win out. But again, they've been toying with these games every single night until they're blowing them out or they're barely winning at the very end. So I'll give Golden State a benefit, but I just Minnesota's been a little disappointing to me.
That game is going to get overshadowed because of how ugly early OKC Denver was yesterday. I believe the halftime score on Saturday night was 42-40, if I'm not mistaken, between Golden State and Minnesota. Like, we're getting...
Oh, it wasn't high,
dude, we're turning... I mean, they went off a little bit in the second half, 102-97
was the
final.
Man.
We're back in the 90s,
I know.
Dude. We're just,
I've been telling people this. We're back in the 90s.
Back in the retro days.
Now, but I also would say, too, in that game, and what was the other game? It might have been the Thunder game. God, can we stop blowing the whistle?
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Just felt like every time a player was touched, there was a foul they called on Randle that Podziemski was just jogging back, and you could tell Podziemski was trying to bait him. Randle literally didn't do anything. Podziemski falls, beep, like clear flop.
Yeah.
And the ref immediately calls it off. And I'm just like, come on, man. And
I feel
you can even see Randle turn around and go, you can't call that.
Yeah, give me a break. In an NBA playoff game, give me a break. I feel like they can't make their mind up. They're caught in between stretches where you can essentially tackle guys in the paint and you're not going to get a foul called on you. And then stretches where all of a sudden the whistle is getting blown every 17 seconds.
Yes.
On every possession.
Yes.
I'm like, can we just even this out a little bit? Spread it out just a hair. Are the Knicks cooked?
I mean, come on. We shouldn't say they're cooked.
They're not cooked. But they need Boston to shoot blanks in order for them to have a chance. I mean, if Boston shoots...
They've had two games shooting blanks. How do we feel about tonight?
I mean, I'd probably lean
Boston.
I'd give
you $50 to gamble. Yeah. Where are you putting
it on? I'd put it on Boston.
I'm putting it on Boston.
I mean, Boston
six and a half is your line tonight.
I don't know about the line, but Boston, I think I saw it yesterday, is a -360 favorite.
Yeah.
That's pretty sizable favorite.
Very over for having a 2-1 deficit in game four on the road tonight.
I don't know what the craziest one is. It's Oklahoma City. I think the Nuggets are a +425. Okay.
To win the series.
Yeah. I want to say Golden State's +625.
Yeah, no, Steph, that makes sense.
And Boston or New York would be like a +240 or something.
Be a fun little parlay. Put a couple bucks on it.
How do you not gamble on the Nuggets?
See what we got.
I think it's going to seven. So.
Well, let me ask you this. So that the second round of the playoffs has been, I mean, we've had a couple of duds, a couple of blowouts here and there, like yesterday, Pacers and Cavs.
Cleveland and Indiana's been disappointing.
Dude, what are we doing? A lot of blowouts in that series.
Yeah.
Mixed with one of the craziest games of the playoffs so far, that game two win by Indiana. It's like, I still can't wrap my head around how that happened.
No, it's never happened.
So there's been great moments and ugly moments and good games and bad games. I asked you, I remember going into the second round, both of you, what upset would be the biggest surprise? And I think Knicks over Celtics was the answer, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you would be correct.
I think that was the number one answer. Now that we're 4 or 5 games in, give or take, 3, 4, 5 games, wherever we're at, what has been the biggest surprise of the second round? Is it OKC struggling to beat Denver and that being a 2-2 tie? Boston losing the first two games? Cleveland getting hammered?
I think it's Cleveland.
I know their guys are banged up, but they're back, and they got smoked yesterday.
Yeah. Cleveland, if you tell me the injuries were going to pop up, and then you tell me Boston's going to blow 2 20-point leads consecutively at home, I think I would have leaned Boston there being most
blowing
surprising.
The 20-point leads at home over
well,
Cleveland.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Like, New York, I'm going to give them a shot here, but that's not – what's more likely? Boston doing to New York what they did in Game 3 or New York winning 4 games by coming back from 20 points against that Boston team?
Right.
So, like
– Boston has dominated 90% of the series.
And they're still down 2-1.
And they're down 2-1.
Yes. So, I think I would lean Boston – but I would also throw in there Minnesota struggling to beat Golden State without Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Like, I had such high
expectations.
You're
going to give me D all the above? Give me an all above answer?
No, it's all a combo surprise. If you made me pick, I'd pick Boston being down 2-1 and blowing 2 20-point leads at home.
OKC being 2-2 is wild, too. Even for NBA dirt, I'm like, man. And it's the fact that Jokic, outside of game two...
They can make an argument they should have swept the series.
Yeah, I mean...
And they blew game one, they choked away game three, they didn't even play well. They didn't play well yesterday.
It's the damn Nuggets, man.
It's the damn Nuggets, but it's also like OKC still having that look that they're not quite ready to take the step, but they might be taking that step.
Right. Are they there? Maybe they're there.
Yes.
It's been fun, man. Second round of the playoffs have been great. We'll see how tonight's games go. We get game four... in New York, Boston and New York, 4:30, and then the nightcap is Minnesota and Golden State. So Boston got a chance to tie it up. New York won, and man, that would be hilarious. I'm rooting for it to happen. I don't think it will happen, but I am rooting for it. And I'm expecting Minnesota to pull away tonight, but they've been playing with their food, so who the hell knows how that game goes tonight. Let's wrap it up with final thoughts on the most consequential day for the Blazers in 2025. Next on The Fan. All right, before we get to a fun yet sad memory, a little birdie has told me. I don't know if you know this.
It really is sad, isn't it?
I do have a bit of a...
Oh, yeah? Giannis get traded to the Spurs? We got Wimby Giannis to worry about?
No, we're giving him their picks back. Giannis coming to Portland, JK. No, a little birdie has told me that for the afternoon... Did you know the 11th annual Fangolf Classics coming up?
Tuesday, June 24th.
Tuesday, June 24th.
Brought to you by your local Toyota dealers.
Boom goes the dynamite. Yeah. And also brought to you by Henderson Daughter Window and Doors and Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Lawyers. So they're just all in the mix.
Victor Rico's and Matt's Barbecue will be there.
I mean, dude, all the food's going to be there. It's going to be great. There's only one afternoon foursome left.
Whoa.
One.
Whoa.
Uno. One.
Look.
So you're going to have to go to 1080thefan.com right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to play in the afternoon, you thought, dude, I got time. It's not till June 24th. That's like 6 weeks away. That's not even school's going to be out. Like, we're still in school. It's a long ways off. You got one. You better get your ass to 1080thefan. Buy that foursome.
Or you could get the morning round, not worry about that one foursome in the afternoon. And then by hole five, it's perfect weather out.
God, it's going to be a delightful
day. It's going to be a little chilly, a little cold start, but that's okay.
It's all right. Nips will be poking out. That's good. It's a good feeling. Birds chirping, dew in the grass.
A little crew neck to start
off. Nipples are hard. Yep. Let's go, baby.
Nice and easy breezy.
We'll be hanging out. No, we were watching a video during the break of the announcement of the lottery, and I will never forget it because I was still in high school when it happened, and I remember I was playing a state playoff baseball game, I believe it was. And we were in the dugout before the game started. Somebody tracking. Can't remember, we didn't have smartphones in. It was just
it might have been the live broadcast.
Might have been the live broadcast. I can't. Yeah, maybe we're listening to the radio and reacting pregame before we went out to go warm up for the playoff game to the Blazers getting the number one overall pick. And the memory of the joy of that day and what it meant and how much we celebrated, just to remember of like,
how it ended.
God, that was depressing. It ended in the most depressing way
I have
humanly possible.
A still shot video, because I was watching this on Twitter with somebody we follow, and I watch this every year, and I have for the last 4 years, which tells you about the Blazers. But I'm watching this video, and they're building up, and it's they just found out they have the one pick. I have it exactly paused. Barrett, arms both up.
Barrett's hand in the air.
Rice, arms both up. Antonio Harvey, arms both up, like he's Stone Cold Steve Austin. Everybody losing their rest.
Oh, we got the number one pick!
And then to know how all of that just unfolds is like...
Yeah, knowing the final chapter of that book makes that a really depressing chapter.
It just makes it super sad, man. We threw him a parade. Happy day.
We drafted him and threw him a parade in Pioneer Square, which I don't
know. Guess what we do if we get flagged tonight?
We're throwing his ass a parade.
Darn right. It's the only parade we're going to get, all right? Swag got to see a parade in his lifetime. I haven't.
When I was over at X-Golf last year, I had Barrett on the golf podcast, and I remember asking him about this, and I brought up, and I said, you need to do... Like, we need a Barrett and Rice live stream somewhere every year for the draft lottery. Give me those two guys, celebrate cocktail in hand for Mike Rice, yelling at an official, and I'll bring back the nostalgia.
I think Rice is pulling off the Catherine O'Hara playing people for their Michelob Ultras.
That's his role
thing.
Now. He's, he's hustling
I think
people.
He's in Florida playing tennis, just stealing beers
for
off
some
people.
Light beers. Way to go, Rice. All right, final thoughts here, gentlemen.
Yes.
And ladies.
Yeah.
There is no chance that Portland ends up number 5. There is no chance Portland ends up number 6. There is no chance Portland ends up number 7. There is no chance Portland ends up 8 or 9. Your chances tonight are 10, 11, 12, 13, or 14, or 1 through 4. Final verdict on a Monday, consequential day. We're here tomorrow. We're talking about it right out of the gate. Happy tissues or sad tissues?
Happy tissues.
Top 4 pick, according to Jason Swigart.
Number three.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
God, who do you take at 3?
You have...
You just go Ace Bailey, and you just hope for the best.
A 4.37 chance at the number 3 overall pick.
And then the debate begins. Do you package it and trade it, or who do you take?
Dude, you do not trade a top 4 pick.
They're not.
Please
they're
don't
not
trade
going
a top
2.
There's
I'm
not.
Just saying the debate will begin.
There's no debate. They will use a top 4 pick. That's not. Who this team is.
On Con Knipple.
I'll just be Bummer Brandon. They stay exactly where they are. They go to 10.
Right at 10?
They stay at 10.
You know, look, it's been a season of poopy pants.
Mr. Poopy Pants, as you're known in the streets.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope my pants are not filled with poop tonight. But I've had a year of poopy pants, so I might as well finish my year of poopy pants.
Oh.
I'll say they end up slipping a spot to 11? Number 11. Number 11 tonight.
So depressing.
Look, we'll see how it goes.
Capture the flag!
Can we capture our 3.7% chance?
Come on.
To capture the flag, we will find out tonight. Sometime around 4:15 is when it will start to be unveiled. Where will the Blazers go in the lottery? We don't know, but we'll talk about it tomorrow. It's going to be a fun show or a depressing show. We'll see. Time will tell. That will do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for being a part of our Monday. Hope you had a great weekend celebrating the moms out there. We had Eric Gunderson on Blazer Banter on the Daily Ticker, 1080thefan.com, at Dirk Spragan at 1080thefan. You can go find it there. Thanks for watching on YouTube. We will be here tomorrow morning reacting to whatever the hell happens tonight. And the happy tissues or the sad tissues. Talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Calling us next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.